I've always loved Siegfried's prose works, which I knew from quite early on as a young monk. But I only got to know his poetry late after I got to know him. And I heard an account of how he came to the Catholic Church, but I have a slightly different one, but then that's the way of the Gospels. He published a book of gloomy poems, whose name I now forget, and Mother Margaret Mary McFarlane said what he needed was the Catholic Church. And he wrote back and said, tell me more. And so she sent him to Monsignor Ronald Knox, who lived down the road from Heytesbury at Mells. And Ronnie was dying by that time, and so sent him on to Sebastian. Sebastian, are you here? No. Of course, he's gone off here. Having agreed to be talking at this, he didn't. So Sebastian, in fact, did the instructing of Siegfried. And that's how I met him. Somebody said, oh, Siegfried's here making his first communion. And he's up in the guest wing. So I said, oh, I'd love to meet him because I love his books. So when I said, this was about 11:30 in the morning and he was still in bed, held up with pillows and bits. And we became friends at once. My grandfather, Hilaire Belloc, was somebody whom Siegfried revered quite a bit. And indeed, I put out that book, A Path of Peace, which has a quotation from my grandfather in it. And so we became friends really straight away. He was a very easy man, I think particularly with young men. And anyway, I was then young and active and used to bicycle those 30 miles over to Heytesbury quite regularly without any trouble, have tea and come back in time for Vespers. And when I was there at Heytesbury, he'd talk about a book, and he knew every book in that very extensive library he had. I think his son has just sold them all off now. Which was a great tragedy because they were a wonderful collection of a literary man who was very much into English literature. But he knew every book in that house, and he'd talk about somebody, Meredith it might be, or Walton, and then he would just go straight to the shelf and pick it off and produce the quotation he wanted. And so we had a whole lot of very happy days together there. And he made many friends in the community here at Downside. Sebastian became a close friend, instructing him in the Catholic faith. Then there was Aylred Watkin, who was an antiquarian and the headmaster, and a great friend of the Asquiths at Mells, which is again where Siegfried often went. And then there was Sebastian, who got a first class in English literature at Cambridge, and that's how they kind of started before he got instructing him. And then there was Father Martin, who was games master and a very keen cricketer, and used to get Siegfried to play. The community used to produce a team called the Ravens, which consisted of monks, and then local dignitaries like the Bishop of Bath and Wells, and then one or two stiffeners like Dennis would be there to keep us in order and see that we got a reasonable number of runs. He knew me largely because of, I made myself apparent. I went along and saw him, and he welcomed me, which was lovely. And I'm glad that my grandfather has a mention in Path to Peace, that last lot of poems that he wrote. Now, I have here a letter I wrote to my parents after his death. I buried Siegfried at Mel's yesterday, quite close to Ronnie, that's Ronald Knox. And Catherine, that's Catherine Asquith, came bravely driving herself in her little electric chair, which she threaded through the graves like a motorboat at Itchenor Harbour. And I had not realised that he was even ill till I got back from Cambridge, and Aylred told me that he was dying fast. So I went off on my bicycle the very next day to find him in the hospital at Warminster. And when I got into the town, I looked to see if it was marked on the map, the hospital, and I saw there were two hospitals marked on the map, I think because of the military up on the plain. And then I saw that right there in the street I'd stopped in was another hospital. So I thought, well, I'll try that one. So I went in, and people have this awful busybodiness of saying, well, do you know, have you got an appointment, blah, 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 blah. And I just went in and said, I want to see Captain Sassoon. And they said, this way, sir. And so I got straight in to see him. And get back to the letter. When I got into, asked if I looked up the street, and I was, and there was a signpost marking a third just where I'd stopped. And when I asked at the door, he was there. So I felt that I had been led. The cancer had got a ferocious hold upon him, and as I came into the room I thought he was dead already. But no, and the spirit was throbbing with vitality. We talked of many things, and of how the first time I met him he was in bed in the White House at Downside, after he had received his first communion in the Catholic Church, and of his son George, a good boy George. But what could he say, poor boy? What could he say? He brought me a great bottle of water from St. Columba's Well on Mull, where he'd been looking after the sheep. And Siegfried was glad that Kent were in the running for the county championships, and he remembered the fun he had had with the Downside Ravens. And he gloomily held up his little stick of an arm and said, is that a raven's arm? I couldn't play with it now. And he said, it is wonderful to know that now it will be soon. And what an innings I have had. And all my prayer is hope and gratitude. And I am right, aren't I, to be serene in my hopeful prayer. It makes me weep to read this. And then he talked of the heroic poem In Praise of Wine, which my grandfather had written, and quoted the ending of it. He was very proud of the copy Mr. Belloc had given him. He said that he was being taken home to Heytesbury that afternoon, as he wanted to be back in his own bed and by his own familiar things. And goodness, I agree. And then, when I got up to go, I told him we would all be praying for him, but that he must not forget to pray for us. And he was most indignant, as he asked how could he ever forget to pray for any of us ever. And then he said he was sorry not to be in better form. And I said, what was true, I'd never known him more on top of his form. And his eyes went all bright in their deep, deep hollows. And he said, no, behind this poor little frail little body, I'm in the best of form. And I left him to the angels. And as I came back through the lonely woods of Longleat, and the memory has filled me ever since. I've never had any difficulty in making the resurrection part of life, but he brought heaven into the room with him, with his gentle eagerness, and it was the first time I felt an actual enlargement from someone dying, which was quite extraordinary. So that's my account of Siegfried. And I think I will leave it at that. No, I can't say any more. He moves me too much. So now we've got John to give us the real meat of our talk. Sorry, that was emotional.